This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your hosts, Jim and Tom. And this episode, we are traveling into DC territory as we break down HBO Max's and James Gunn's Peacemaker starring John Cena. Now, spoiler alert to follow because we're going to break this down, all seven episodes. This is a series that when I knew we would be back talking Peacemaker at one point in our podcast journey.
Right.
And I did not think that we would be potentially gushing about this, or I did not think I would. I can't speak for you, but when this was announced and they said John Cena was going to lead, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, this was announced kind of parallel to the announcement of the Suicide Squad. Yeah. So I was like, all right, what are they going to do? How is this going to be? Is James Gunn going to be attached to it? Who's going to be the supporting cast? And I love Steve Agee. And I knew that he was gonna be in it. Jennifer Holland was in it. She was good in Suicide Squad. And then Danielle Brooks, I knew her from Orange is the New Black. But let's kind of just start with this story because it's an unusual story. It's not one that you're gonna find in a DC comic. Although it did feel very comic booky, where the town they're in. Did they even say what town they were in this?
I'm sure they did. I don't know. They might have intentionally left it.
It's probably a fake DC town. We know this. Sure. But Peacemaker, this takes right after Suicide Squad. Seconds after Suicide Squad, when Peacemaker's in the hospital, he...
Right.
Or gets out of his coma and becomes friends with the janitor. And then he's brought in with this ragtag group of people, which was fronted by... Chukwudi Awuji, who played Clemson Mern, and then later Leota Adebayo, Agent Emilia Harcourt, who you remember from Suicide Squad, and John Economos from Suicide Squad, and later came in everybody's favorite busboy, Adrian Chase, a.k.a. Vigilante. So what did you think of this storyline where... It was these mysterious butterflies inhabiting humans in up to episode 7. We had no idea what their motives were, but we all thought world domination. So what did you think of the storyline?
Right. We've said it a million times. I don't have a lot of faith in DC, but, you know, I have faith in James Gunn. I know he could put, like, he's able to mix all the elements that we want in a superhero movie. Mm-hmm. The story I think is, I mean, sure, there's probably somebody's going to be like, well, it's exactly like this, but I don't know. I don't know it offhand. I don't recognize it as a recognizable story or, you know, these particular parts of it. I know, you know, aliens take it like pod people and stuff like that. I know that exists, but, the way they put it together and they structured it and I think it was pretty fantastic. It had me for 7 episodes, and this isn't like you could binge it now, but you know, HBO decides to do episodic or weekly episodic. So, you know, I find myself getting pissed off at that sometimes, but, there's a lot of things that surprise me about this. You're right. I don't think I would have gushed about any part of this, but, yeah, I think we're going to gush about a lot of it.
Yeah, I agree. This was one of those episodes that, again, kept me guessing. We just talked about Reacher, but it really had me guessing throughout the whole season. One of my early theories about the butterflies were that maybe this was kind of residual from either Jaro from Suicide Squad,
right,
or even residual from Justice League, and this is how parademons were formed, where the butterflies got into their... you know, their brainstem, and they took over. And I was more on that train once we saw the episode where all of the police department and, you know, the white supremacists in the jail were taken over, and they started, like, turning into zombies. And I was very confused on what was happening. And then, like, they gave you a telepathic gorilla, or at least a talking gorilla, which I thought was Grodd for a second. But I was like, I was like, I don't know if James Gunn can get Grodd in this. But it turns out James Gunn can get whoever the hell he wants. Because, you know, we're going to jump. But the final episode, Ezra Miller and Jason Momoa are in there. And that was something that really stuck out to me. Like, I know they kept saying the joke that Aquaman had sex with fish, and the Green Arrow, the disparity against Green Arrow was very upsetting for me.
Oh, yeah.
I was very upset with that. But when they showed, when the Justice League showed up and he said, "You guys are fucking late," I was like, "Oh, this is great." Oh, and the city is set in a town called Evergreen in Charlton County. Charlton County is based on Charlton Comics owned the character rights of Peacemaker before DC acquired in the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, okay. In the 80s?
Yeah.
Thing is, like, the biggest case of who is this guy, mm-hmm. you know? Because we're in the know, sort of. We're fans, and we know we always consider ourselves knowledgeable about the content. There is no content. This is, besides just being invented, he has like one arc in 40 years.
Yep.
You know, and it was just somebody to get beat up. Like, he had no, this is all invented by James Gunn and the writers, and I think a lot of John Cena. believe it or not, I think he had an input into this.
I agree.
So, yeah, it's not like, nobody knows who this guy is. Nobody knows anything about him.
I think that's a beautiful thing, though. Having going in there with, like, a really fresh character, especially one that you were just introduced into a movie, and getting this whole kind of origin story, post-Suicide Squad story, I think was great, because you're introduced to a new character, and if you like him, you like him. If you hate him, then you don't go season two. But this show, you know, I know Suicide Squad was good. This show really shows how good James Gunn is in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Disney stuff and his Marvel stuff, like, really good. Like, great stuff. Guardians, phenomenal. But he's held back as far as what jokes he can make. And like, what writing he can do with this. And to your point about John Cena's input, I know a lot of this was improv by John Cena. That name-dropping situation where he started talking about, like, you could have framed Ariana Grande, that was him.
Yeah.
Like, I wish. You know, he said James Gunn, he said Freddie Stroma. He should have said John Cena. And someone should have been like, but you can't see him. I think that was a missed opportunity. But again, this is kind of a series that, like Reacher, was given the perfect casting.
Yeah.
That you had your hard ass in Myrn, who is a character who I did not like from the jump until I found out that he was a butterfly.
Right.
It added so much more dynamic to him.
Every episode told a better story.
Yep.
You know, it started out where this is just, you know, it felt for him a redemption arc, but we knew that, you know, not to trust
Adebayo.
Her mom.
Waller.
We knew that you couldn't trust her. So we had all these things we knew. And it was just, you know, he was just going to go on some mission and try to, like, free himself. We did not know the direction this was going to take.
No.
We had no idea, you know, how much we would like all the characters they introduced.
Yeah, and I mean, even Economos at the end, he was like, God, not another goddamn kaiju. And all they wanted was to, you know, find peace.
Yeah.
And that scene where, you know, he's about to kill Goff, I was like, oh no, don't kill Goff. I think I was more worried in this entire series that Eagly was going to die.
Yeah.
Like, every time
he punches Eagly.
Yeah.
You know.
And, like, he's hugging him. Like, everything about Eagly, when Eagly and, you know, he's flying to drop the helmets off, I was like, oh, he's going to die here. And I looked at Chelsea. I was like, if Eagly dies, I'm not watching the rest of the series. Because, you know, John Cena was great, but Eagly was even better. I don't know if that means anything to the story. But, like, you get Emilia Harcourt, who's played by James Gunn's wife, who Jennifer Holland, who was fantastic in this. Adebayo, played by Danielle Brooks. Like, I love that they got the reveal of her being Waller's daughter done in the first episode.
Yeah.
Because you're watching it fall apart. You're watching her fall more for the team, but also trying to be, like, mommy's best little girl.
There was all these things that created tension in the right ways. Like, yeah, her... We knew... Like, she legitimately didn't seem like a spy.
Yep.
So we knew that she wasn't lying. She wasn't that good of a liar. So we knew that, you know, she was, you know, like you said, like, she was kind of falling for the team and becoming a member. But we always knew what was going to happen. We always knew that she would have to turn on them in some way. I mean, not a lot of harm came from that turn. Because it was kind of like, you know, resolved right away, but, you know.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that came from that was Mern was killed.
Yeah.
Because had she not unveiled the diary and then, you know, the butterflies take over the police, Mern would have still been alive. But I think you needed a sacrifice, and I think he was the right one. I would have liked to see a little more of him. And I know we will see more of him in Guardians 3 because he's playing the High Evolutionary. So I think that's going to be great. But even, like, John Economos, like Steve Agee, that's James Gunn's guy. We saw him in Guardians a few times. The long play storyline that you get from the beginning when they're calling him Dyebeard to the end when he's admitting why he dyed his beard. And I'm like, damn, like, that hit me. Like, that probably had the most heart. When he's just talking about, I never thought I was going to be noticed. I never had a girlfriend. Like, that was pretty rough. And then it brings me to my favorite character of the entire show. Adrian Chase, Vigilante, played by Freddie Stroma, who wasn't the original Vigilante. It was Chris Conrad who left the series because he wanted Vigilante to be more serious. And and James Gunn was like, do you not see this show?
Yeah.
Like,
you'd be the only serious one.
Right? We have an eagle, CGI eagle, probably played by Sean Gunn, hugging John Cena. And Freddie Stroma was the funniest character in this entire series. His banter with John Cena was amazing. The scene where he was like, hold up, guys, which one's Eagly and which one's me? I thought that, like, that was great. The phone scene where, like, they're talking about, like, encrypted phones was amazing. What did you think of this version of Vigilante?
I don't know if there's going to be a different version. Perfect for this show. Mm-hmm. Like, John Cena needed somebody to bounce his, like, you know,
his crazy
lunacy off of. And yeah, and like, it was a perfect outlet for him to do it with Vigilante. He was a scene stealer, and you know, the only close second to him, I think, is Judo Master.
Oh, Judo Master was so good.
If he was in more scenes, I think he could have stole the show. But, it's Vigilante, you know, propped up this show at the end there.
Yeah. When he blew up, I thought he was dead. Like, that scene between him and White Dragon, which was like a crazy deep cut of DC villains.
Yeah.
I thought that that was a really good inclusion. Like, it added more layers to Peacemaker, that his dad was, like, this racist asshole who, nobody liked. There was no redeeming factors of him. And I thought that that was clever that they used him.
And he had like, a pocket universe, like, in his closet. Where'd that, like...
Yeah, that's the.
I have no idea.
It's the only thing that made no sense.
I don't know anything about White Dragon. I thought the design looked pretty cool. You know,
I agree.
For what he is, he's a, you know, a Ku Klux Klan wizard, basically, dragon.
Yep.
So he was all new to me. I think the subtle way that John Cena handled the. Pocket universe was pretty interesting. I think the visuals were cool, but yeah, it's like, where did this pocket universe come from? And like, that should be red flag number one is,
yeah,
you know.
And I hope that's
storage center.
I kind of hope that that's expanded a little more because like now Augie's dead, so now Chris can take over the house and have that pocket universe. And like, to your point about Judo Master, we know he's going to show back up. Like, he was there at the end, so I loved that. What did you think of the, you know, the DC Easter eggs that they had? With, like, Judo Master, the Green Arrow, and Aquaman stuff. Who else did they have? Matter-Eating Lad, Bat-Mite,
yeah.
Kite Man. What'd you make of all that?
Story time with John Cena. I like that at some point it all paid off.
Except for Kite Man. I feel like we need it to actually see him.
yeah. But I mean, like, with Aquaman and the Flash showing up, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was huge.
I don't need to see this, like, this should live in its own bubble. And I do like the cameos and I do like the shout outs, but. And it's great. Now we all know what universe it exists in. It exists in the Justice League universe.
Yep.
The Snyderverse, if you want to call it. That actually, this makes this more coherent than almost any other DC property.
I agree.
Because we know what universe it exists in. So, throwing nods is great, but I want this to be its own thing, and some cameos will be cool, but I don't want it to be, you know, gummed up by a Superman cameo or a team-up or anything silly, unless they get, like, a Lobo or something ridiculous.
That would be the character I'd want in this.
Yeah.
And, well, definitely. James Gunn has, he confirmed that he's working on another character based from the Suicide Squad as a series for HBO Max. I'm thinking it's Bloodsport.
Yeah.
It
is the same exact character. I mean, that's the joke, right? But, okay. Well, I mean, we'll see.
But he works out of Gotham, right? So, you know, you get more. Yeah. It could be a little more darker. I'm thinking they're probably going to go King Shark.
Or somebody that King Shark could work with.
Yeah, like Ocean Master.
Whoever that, yeah, yeah, maybe.
Another one that I really like, only because they gave a flashback to it, like to the history, was Ratcatcher.
True.
Because then you get Taika Waititi, you get Daniela Mercury. I think that would be really cool. But if it's not a subset of Suicide Squad, a Lobo series done by James Gunn would be amazing.
Yeah, well, I think this is... Okay, I'm going to go back on what I just said. If you want to introduce the most obscure, who maybe Peacemaker was the most obscure person until the show, but if you want to introduce the most obscure, little-known or, you know, misunderstood character, this would be an R-rated show to do it. Because... you know, it's it's kind of like we said at the beginning, it's new ground.
Yeah.
Just, you know, this is literally an unknown property to 90% of the audience. I don't know about you, me included. I don't really, like, I researched him way back when, and it was just like, yeah, he was in a storyline.
Yep.
And you know.
And he's a douchey Captain America.
Yeah.
So.
He was raised as a racist.
Yeah, and we got to see the Shield, which was cool.
True.
I don't think we got to see that in, I was about to say Galaxy Wars, but that's our show, Suicide Squad. So
I think it's important that I don't know how we didn't talk about it. How are we going to gloss over the opening credits?
Well, I was getting there. Have you learned the dance yet?
No.
Are you working on it?
I'll break that out. Of course. We're going to do it with Lamar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that could be our if we ever do a live show again, that could be our opening.
Yeah,
I think that the greatest intro to any show was this one. Like, seeing Robert Patrick do, like, hip thrusts and just legitimately just dancing was absolutely amazing. I hope they continue that. I hope they one-up it in season two and add a little more flair to it.
Well, this is all, I mean, this is James Gunn's signature all over it. Like, music numbers and dance numbers, yep, inside of a, not serious, but, like, not a musical. You know, like,
yeah,
how important music is through the whole movie. That's exactly like Guardians was. And the fact that it opens up with a musical number is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny. It's good.
Yeah, it's and I know a lot of people on TikTok are doing the dance as well.
Of course.
And I think the great thing about this is, like, and I was talking to Chuck about it, like, my favorite parts of the series. All my favorite parts involved Vigilante. And the reason why I was wondering why it was just those parts. Besides, Freddie Strome is great. I only knew him from Pitch Perfect, but he was great. James Gunn had to reshoot every scene with Vigilante in it. So every scene that was my favorite was shot by James Gunn and was directed by James Gunn. And knowing that going into season two, he's going to write and direct everything, I think season two is going to be 10 times better than season one.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question. Would you like season two of Peacemaker to actually have a DC character as the villain and the storyline be coherent with DC? Or you just want it to go off script and now they're fighting like zombievers?
I don't know. I think if you throw in somebody too big, like a villain, name any, you know, Joker, if you throw in, you know, even, you know, obviously it's less than that, but if you throw a name that's known, doesn't have to be super well known, but known enough, like an Entrancers level character, I think you might like trip it up because you're going to get caught on like knowing somebody and they don't get to, you know, have the creative freedom that he has with just this story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, if he wants to go like little known to almost not known, and build his own backstory and character, then I'm fine with that. I don't know who that is necessarily, but you know, I like, what is he gonna? What's Peacemaker gonna do next? You know, is he going to still work for Lawler? Or are they gonna get kicked out? Who knows? So
yeah, and
Lawler or Waller might be the bad guy in the next one. He might go after Waller.
Yeah, maybe Waller assembles a Suicide Squad and goes after Peacemaker.
Yeah, his team.
And I mean, think about this potential Suicide Squad right now. TDK, who's still alive, so you bring Nathan Fillion in. Weasel, also still alive. I'd bring in Judo Master.
Of course.
I would go Matter Eating Lad, because now he's canon.
Yeah, he was mentioned.
Kite Man.
Ratcatcher.
I keep Ratcatcher because I think that she's...
Yeah.
I don't think her and Peacemaker could kill each other, although it'd be nice because, you know, Peacemaker killed Flag.
Well, she's going to have the doohickey in her head.
Yeah. But you lead it.
Who knows?
So you get Kite Man, Condiment King, and you lead the team with Bloodsport to kind of finish the job because Bloodsport always finishes the job, and he wasn't able to finish this job. So I think that would be great. And I think HBO has enough money to say, Idris, we need you for eight episodes.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not saying Idris isn't a busy man, because he certainly is. But how much Sonic voiceover does he want to do? I know he's getting his own series now on Paramount Plus as Knuckles, but, you know, come on, you can jump over and play Bloodsport for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. Or Lobo. I would like Lobo to be, like, from the planet of the butterflies. That would be pretty neat.
Yeah. Has to hunt down... Well, what's her name's alive, right? He kept one alive, Goff. Didn't he? Yeah.
He fed her the nectar.
Yeah.
I
don't know. But I don't see how, like, a big baddie would fit into this. Like, I don't like that. But maybe some, you know... I don't even know where I'd do the research because I don't know anything about, like, you know... Even though White Dragon was barely a character, like, the bad in this, he eventually became a bad, but not the bad.
Yeah. I like the I like the Suicide Squad stuff, although I'd like this to kind of turn into, like, a Reno 911, where this crew's just going out there and catching, like, D-level villains, Kite Man, Condiment King, Batmite, like, and just taking them to Bell Rev, because now Economos is working there. I think that would.
Oh yeah, true.
I think that'd be a great thing. Like, not even a team, because like Autobio seems to be moving on with her life. Harcourt is learning how to walk again. Economos is back at Bell Rev. So you have basically the makings of a Peacemaker, Vigilante, and Eagly Road Trip, where they help create peace. Yeah. And I'd watch the hell out of that.
Yeah, and somewhere have Judo Master as a bad, and I'm in. Well, I was in anyway. But.
Judo Master could just hide in the trunk, and just like get him. Like he would just recruit little villains with him.
Oh.
Yeah, Judo Master was fantastic. I need more of Judo Master in my future. But I think James Gunn, as we know, like we're not James Gunn's friends, although it would be amazing. Because we'd be in his movies. I'd be Condiment King. I don't even care. James Gunn is loyal to his people.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see, I think his name is Newt Few, Judo Master again. All right, so last question. We'll get out of here, and then we'll come back with a new episode. What do you rate this one, 1 to 10?
This one for me is like, I'm going to go a 9.
Yeah.
Easy 9 for me.
Yeah, this is 9.5. This was so good. It might be one of the best DC properties, and it also may have single-handedly gave us who's left in the Snyderverse, because we only got Miller and Momoa. Cavill wasn't shown, it's just a silhouette, and neither was Godot. So maybe that's moving forward who we have left in this whole DCEU. So
a little
subtle
Easter egg there. Yeah.
And honestly, give James Gunn the keys to the kingdom. Let him run the DC universe with those characters. Yep. I'm here for it.
This was, like I said, this was like the, you know, as far as storyline goes, and it got like, okay, it got 8 episodes to create it, and it got, you know, free reign to create it, so that's why it was so good. But it's the most coherent, like, part of the DC universe.
Yeah.
You know, let's see what Flashpoint does and all this other stuff, but, you know, this was fun to watch, and I had a good time. I wasn't, like, and it was filmed the same way as, you know, it still had, like, a little bit of a Snyderverse look to it, you know, the grayscale or whatever, but it was... you know, James Gunn's take on it. So it was fun.
Yep. Super watchable, super enjoyable. Didn't take itself serious, and sometimes I think that's what we really need. But that's it, man. We'll get out of here. We'll be back next week with another episode. I'm thinking Murderville. I think we need to talk about it.
I love Murderville.
So we'll, how about we do this? Next week, we'll break down the Doctor Strange trailer, and we'll talk about Murderville.
Okay.
And there, so, and there we go.
That's about right.
And we'll get back to Galaxy Wars fashion. But follow us on social media, Galaxy Wars Podcast. We'll be back next week. Here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.